Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Beltway Blitz time on Grant and Danny. We're jamming a couple of teams into one segment for you. We start on the ice. Brian McNally on the Caps, NBCSportsWashington.com. Brian, tonight is going to be fun. Capitals and Bruins, the two best teams in the sport, at Capital One Arena. Give us a preview.
Yeah, guys, this should be a good one. Last two Eastern Conference champions, Bruins, Caps. As good as NHL regular season hockey will get. Caps had 49 points, Bruins with 46, two best records in the NHL. This is the good stuff. This is what you want to see during a long 82-game season where it seems like every game kind of merges into another one. This one should stand out. Should be fun.
Nicholas Backstrom contract extension. Where we are on that?
Well, we're not sure where we are exactly, Danny, but we know he's doing it without an agent, which is an interesting move. It's what Alex Ovechkin did old school back in the day, 2008, basically had his mom negotiate with Ted Leontis and came to the long-term agreement. Nick Backstrom, I think, knows where he wants to be, and that's maybe what you take from it more than anything, Danny, is that he knows he wants to be here. He doesn't want to mess around with it. Doesn't feel like he needs an agent to hammer out a deal. Thinks the team will treat him fairly, which is probably another important element of that. And so you'd expect at some point, whether it's now or closer to the end of the season or even in the spring, after the season's done, those two sides to come to an agreement and keep Nick Backstrom here the rest of his career.
I actually read a story today from up in Boston where they're talking about how can the Bruins actually beat the Capitals. Washington owns this team. It really is crazy.
Right.
For as good as Boston has been, it'd be one thing if, like, the worst team in the NHL over the last 9 years had a terrible record against the Caps. But for a team that's a perennial power and contender, how have the Caps worked them over so consistently?
No, I mean, granted, it makes no sense. Like, at a certain point, it always seems to come in different ways, too. It's not like I can sit here and say, well, it's just Braden Holtby has played amazing. Although, if there is one constant, Braden Holtby has played amazing. He's got a 9.44 save percentage. 17-3 against the Bruins, 1.81 goals against average. I mean, those are ridiculous numbers. So you can start there, I guess. Other than that, though, I've been thinking about this for a couple of years, Grant. It just doesn't make sense. I mean, the Bruins did have a down year or two when the Caps were, winning President's Trophies in the 16-17 stretch, but it still doesn't make sense. The Bruins have had other good years. They obviously were the Stanley Cup runner-up last year, got to Game 7. If we're going to go anything, I'll say Braden Holtby and the rest of it, maybe a little bit of luck to have a record that good. They beat the Bruins again last month, 3-2 up in Boston, in a shootout. At this point, it seems like they're in their heads. They can't really figure out, even when they do beat them. I think the Bruins beat them last year, near the end of the regular season. It doesn't carry over. The Caps just come right back and beat them again. So I don't think I've ever seen one good team own another in any sport the way the Caps do with the Bruins.
There are always weird things, though. Like, didn't the Caps go almost a decade without winning in Dallas against the Stars, no matter how good or bad they were? So weird stuff happens. But, yeah, two good teams, and the Caps win the arm wrestling match every time. This may be unfair, and this is a relative complaint because the Caps are excellent. So we're just looking for things to nitpick on. Evgeny Kuznetsov has been good. I feel like I need him to be great for them to get to where they want to go. Has he been great and I'm just missing it?
He's had maybe a couple stretches of great play, Danny. I think, but you're not wrong in terms of he hasn't done the John Carlson bit here, where he's been so good over consistently 7, 8, 9, 10 games that you go, hey, everybody needs to watch this. This is incredible what this guy's doing. Kuznetsov hasn't reached that gear, that level. We know he has it in him. We've seen him do it. We've seen him do it in the playoffs. So you're not wrong there. I think they could use a sustained stretch like that. I think they're fortunate that they haven't really needed it. I wonder how much it helps, too, to finally get everybody kind of back into their proper roles. He's now slid back kind of down into that second line with Jacob Marano and TJ Oshie. We'll see if that line can find some traction here the next couple of days. So obviously, Marano has been great all season. And Kuznetsov, you know, now that with Nick Backstrom back, they kind of have that flexibility at center. Maybe we'll see him take off and get to that level again. I think we need to see the Caps here for, you know, healthy and with everybody playing here for another, you know, a stretch of 10, 12 games. We really haven't seen that much, Danny. So if that happens and it's happening now, maybe we see Kuznetsov take off a little bit the way we've seen him in the past.
Thanks, Brian.
Appreciate it, guys.
Enjoy the game tonight. Eat some popcorn in the press box for me. Let's talk some baseball. The Nats made it official. Previously reported deals have now been put in pen. Howie Kendrick announced by the team yesterday as having signed, and so is Yan Gomes, who's here.
What is Howie Kendrick's role going to be?
That's the big question. He's going to earn $4 million in 2020, mutual option for $6.5 million, or a $2.5 million buyout in 2021. So basically, this is a one-year, $4 million contract. I think you're going to see mostly second base for the first half of the year until Carter Kieboom is ready, with some first base to spell Ryan Zimmerman and whoever they platoon with him as the left-handed bat.
Over under 121 games that he played this past year.
He played 121 on the dot?
Yep.
I'll go under that. Not by much. Here's why, though. This year, he got to a point where you had to play him when he was healthy. Had to be in the lineup all the time.
Right.
There was never even, I don't think, a single week where he was cold or wasn't hitting enough that you went with somebody else, basically. 17 jacks and just 334 at-bats, 966 OPS. I don't think he'll replicate that. So I think there are going to be times where there might be a hotter bat than him at his position, which never happened this past year. Make any sense?
It does. So I could see
him, I think, if he gets around 100 games, 115 games, they'd be happy.
Yeah, I think so, too. I could see a lot of first base. I could see the occasional third base, by the way, that they did when Anthony Rendon had to sit for a couple times, depending on who ends up over there, right? I think he's one of those guys that you have to take care of. You got to rest, but also he's got to hit. And so you're going to kind of hide him defensively maybe a couple times a week just to figure it out. Second base is interesting, though, because if you feel like that position is now solved, then your sort of offseason shopping list is going to change.
Yan Gomes, $4 million next season, $6 million in 2021, a two-year, $10 million contract. They pair him again with Kurt Suzuki. I think people that just look at his 2019 numbers are going to say that he had a disappointing season, and he probably did. I know just reading on trade rumors, they said Nats surprisingly brought back Yan Gomes, who had a down season. He was great in the second half, and he got a lot better as the year went along. In fact, I believe he finished with the highest OPS among all starting catchers in the last 5 weeks of the season when he got to play more when Suzuki was down. I like this deal. I know he's 32. If he was your everyday catcher, it's a problem. But the platoon, it's not a platoon, I guess, because they're both right-handed, but the timeshare between he and Suzuki worked last year. No reason to go away from that.
He was, frankly, bad early last season. He was. Not only at the plate, okay, that happens. A catcher, it's a struggle. You're learning to pitch and stab. There's a lot of things that go into it. But he was terrible behind the dish. Set a career high in pass balls before we got to July. I mean, he was terrible back there. All of that picked up in the second half of the season. Really in August, not like he hit that great, but down the stretch, September, October, had an 850 OPS heading into the postseason, put together a bunch of good at-bats, had a huge hit in that Cardinals series in that game one where nobody was really hitting and they were going to strand a runner or two. And, you know, he had that booming double into the gap to score a run, put them on the board. It would be all that Anibal Sanchez and company would need. He was really, really good for this club. Is a great dude, good clubhouse presence, and handled that pitching staff really well, and throws a lot better than Suzuki, which is a factor.
Lastly, on the Nationals, they are apparently ready to pivot to Josh Donaldson as an alternative at third base, according to Jesse Dougherty of the Washington Post, if and when Rendon signs elsewhere. Look, they've been connected to Donaldson for a while. We started saying on this show, you go back to April or May, my point was, if you can't re-sign Rendon, the next best available third baseman to cushion the blow is Josh Donaldson, who hit mid-30s home runs with Atlanta. He's not as good as Rendon. He's not going to hit for average. There are some knocks, some questions that come with him. But if you could get him on a two-year deal, it would be amazing. Probably going to be a three-year deal. He wants a four-year deal, which I'd have very little to no interest in. If they sign him to a four-year contract, I won't like it.
Really?
Yeah, if they sign him to a two-year deal, I'll be ecstatic. If they get a three-year contract done, I'll be okay. But Donaldson's going to hit for power and drive in runs.
He's going to
walk.
I
think they need that.
I do, too.
He'll get on base.
That presence matters, and it's a right-handed bat, too, which usually you go, we got to find some left-handed hitting. Well, they got a few lefties. They need someone, a right-handed presence, to protect Juan Soto. I actually wouldn't mind a four-year deal. And here's why. It's not going to be good for the last year, maybe last 2 years of that deal. My window's right now, and if I've got to pay that tax of having Josh Donaldson, maybe he's a trade chip, maybe he's not, maybe he's hurt, maybe he's not the same guy. But he's coming off a season where he hit close to 40 home runs with a mid-9 OPS. I'm into that. I want that presence, and I got to pay a premium for it because the market is really thin. I'll do that.
The Eagles have opened as underdogs against the Redskins. Let's talk some football. And they didn't, actually. I lied to you. I said they're underdogs.
That's
heavy
not right,
favorites
is
what they should have been.
Okay.
No. Underdogs is the opposite of what they actually
are. I almost had a conniption.
No. I say underdogs. What I meant was the thing that's the opposite of that.
The gigantic overdog.
Right. They've been favorites. It's only 5.5 points, though, which is actually surprising. I would have thought 8.5 or 9-point spread here, but this speaks to two things. Number one, the Redskins are playing better, and they're keeping teams close. Number two, the Eagles, you saw the first half of that Giants.
They're just not very good.
I was wrong about them. I was wrong about Dallas, but I was mainly wrong about Philly, who I thought would win the division with 11 wins. They are probably going to play a close game against the Redskins this weekend because their offense doesn't make big plays. They don't have wide receivers to get open downfield. They can't put a team away. They're going to play another 27-20, 17-7 type game.
Their two tight ends are excellent. They are. Goddard and, of course, Ertz is the headliner. But those guys are really, really good.
Ertz might go 12 for 140 this weekend.
Their receivers are awful at the moment, especially if it looks like Alshon Jeffrey's not going to play. DeSean Jackson was healthy for 8 seconds against the Redskins, and that was it. It's J.J. Arcega-Whiteside and somebody I've never heard of. I mean, they basically had two receivers up this past week. I don't know what they're going to do with that spot, but they're asking Carson Wentz to make chicken salad out of the other stuff.
He's Danny. I'm Grant. This is The Fan. Our NFL power rankings. Who are our top five teams in football? We'll get into that at 12:45 today. Next, do you think there is any chance that Anthony Rendon returns to Washington? Because Steven Strasburg has apparently started to try to recruit him after re-signing. By the way, what a coup that would be.
Pretty neat.
If Stras re-signed and then got Rendon to re-sign, it would be time to start building a statue of that dude. People have just never really loved him like they should anyway.
Yeah.
But he's become all of a sudden Mr. National. He's just trying to get Anthony Rendon back.
Make it a gateway. You got to walk through two Strasburgs from the stretch with a couple with an archer that connects them.
Like a political campaign. He's rolling up his sleeves and working for you. We're Grant and Danny. All we want for Christmas in D.C. is Anthony Rendon. Are we going to get him? That's the question. Welcome back, Grant and Danny. 106.7 The Fan. If you are just hopping in the car for lunch, leaving the office, or missed part of the show earlier today, where you been? Of course, thefandc.com for all of our podcasts. But the best way to listen back to what you missed, even well after the show, is on the 24-hour function on our radio.com app. Earlier today, we were talking with Benjamin Albright about Eric Bieniemy as a head coaching candidate for the Redskins. And if you missed that, if you've got radio.com, you could just kind of toggle straight back with the thumb, listen, catch up to real time, and listen live again. DVR for radio, it's pretty cool. But I mentioned Rendon because there is a report that Steven Strasburg is trying to convince him to sign with the Nationals.
So this is via Mark Zuckerman. If you say Zuckerman, you're wrong. It's Mark Zuckerman of Mass and Sports. This was the sentence, or this is the paragraph that really jumped out at me. Okay, it's discussing the parameters of Strasburg's contract, etc. I hadn't heard this anywhere else. So if you have, bully for you, you're more informed than me. Throughout the process, Strasburg has been in touch with both Rendon and Nationals ownership, the source said, making his pitch for the two sides to work out a deal and keep one of the most important players from the club's World Series run in D.C. for the long term. Whether Strasburg's active participation is enough to bring Rendon back is up for debate. Nationals managing principal owner Mark Lerner previously stated the club couldn't afford to re-sign both players, but the structure of Strasburg's new contract might help make it more plausible. Quick note on that. I tried to drill down on this with Mike Rizzo when we had him on yesterday about this. Everybody keeps saying that. Boris said that. Rizzo has said that multiple times. Well, the structure of the deal. They're very happy as owners and bosses who are in charge of things like payroll. It lessens our cash impact when it comes time. Hey, it's been 2 weeks. You get your paycheck. You get your $800. You get $1,000, whatever, for the rest of us schlubs. When they've got to hand over $6 million or $3 million, whatever it is, we can make payroll easier, so therefore it's going to be easier for us to sign somebody. With all due respect, I don't care about that. I don't care about your cash on hand and your cash flow and what you can invest and what you can't. I care about luxury tax. I care about salary cap. I care about those sorts of allotments in the sport. Sometimes owners and agents and ever get kind of caught up in that mire of the actual cash overlays. I just care what accounts for the salary cap purposes in all the different sports. I don't see this as more cap friendly to sign Anthony Rendon. It's more cash friendly, meaning if you wanted to pay the luxury tax, which you would have to sign Rendon, it's more palatable for us to do that. So that's confusing why people keep saying that. But the big takeaway is the Steven Strasburg recruitment angle. I've not heard that anywhere else.
I haven't either. I'm glad that he's doing it. I'll bet it's being blown out of proportion a little bit. I have no working knowledge or understanding of how hard Steven Strasburg is recruiting or working here. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's Nick Saban at Quinn's Orchard. You know what I mean? I don't think he's trying to go find his next quarterback. And what I mean by that is, well, I bet you he fired off a text or two.
Yeah.
I really think that's where we're at on this.
You know, you can't see Steven Strasburg like rolling up his sleeves, giving an impassioned speech.
Correct. Yeah. I'll bet you he said, "Hey, Anthony, let's go back together." Rendon's like, "Yeah, we'll see, man. That would be cool."
"Hello, Anthony. This is Steven from baseball. Do you think it would be fun to be teammates again?" Question mark.
I bet he said, "Hey, my deal's done. You're next, man." Something like that. That's the extent of this. So I don't really believe that this makes it more likely that Rendon comes back. But I do think that if Strasburg was working hard at this, if he's NBA player, LeBron James, putting a big three together style.
Right, this isn't in the Hamptons where we're having
right,
drinks
if
together.
If he's
yeah.
flying to Texas to go sit down with Rendon, I don't think he is, and saying, "Hey, let's watch the World Series documentary DVD together. We could do this again if you re-sign." That might make it more likely that Brett Favre gets on the plane and goes and joins the team. But that's not what's happening here, in my opinion. He's probably saying, "Hey, man, they took care of me. Let them take care of you. Let's keep the band together. Let's play some beautiful music." That's kind of the extent for me of this. But here's the question, and this is what I'm more interested in. In my mind, the ship has sailed. It just went over the horizon. It left port. We waved. We did the Titanic. Like the slow wave and the black and white when everyone
Celine
left.
Dion is singing
1911, right? We did that, and then it went over the horizon and it's gone now. It's out in the ocean somewhere. I think it's over. I think Anthony Rendon is gone. You with me?
Quick is that? What instrument is that? Is that like a flute?
I'm gonna
a pan flute?
Violin. It's a flute.
It's an actual flute.
Wow.
It's not the one that remember, I'm older than you guys, but you guys probably don't remember. Remember Zamfir? And the pan flute, like that wood thing that had the different, it was like a vertical flute.
Not
that it could play. There was
remember Ron Burgundy and the Yaz flute?
Yeah. You would play that? The Yaz flute. Yeah, I remember that very well.
If I finish this, can I have some steak?
This song was fire when that movie came out. I love this song. Mm. You don't seem as big of a fan.
No, just anything to do with Titanic, I was just out on. Had no
big
interest.
Big fan of Titanic. What would you rather do? Go see Celine Dion in concert? Or wait in a 1.5-hour line to take your kid to see Santa Claus?
Oh, the Santa Claus one. I'll do that.
Really?
Yeah.
Over Celine Dion in concert?
Yeah. That wouldn't be for me. Celine Dion. Even though she has a couple jams.
Tommy has recently seen Celine Dion.
When he was in Vegas, you did it?
Yeah.
That may be the most Tommy thing ever, by the way.
My mom's jealous. I could think of a few more Tommy things than that.
The impressions of her that are out there, like Ariana Grande does a great impression of her and a couple other people, where like they do like her live concert bits because she has that French Canadian accent that's like a little bit different.
She's one of the songbirds of our generation. If you want to talk just voices,
who else is in there?
See, Allison disagrees with me on this. I put Alicia Keys in there. I think she's got one of the best voices. She puts Adele, which I think is perfect. That's fine.
I was gonna say Adele.
Lady Gaga.
And then Gaga's got to be in there. I think that those are my, and no dudes. I didn't put any dudes in there. What about Nate Roos?
No, this is songbirds. This is ladies.
Okay.
Songbirds
only ladies?
I feel like it's not a dude term.
Typically, yeah.
Okay. What would you call for dudes? Like croners? Crooners? What's the word I'm looking for?
You're looking for crooner.
Yeah, croner is like a currency in a bad country.
Crooners is like, Frankie Blue Eyes. Quartet. You know, like you're holding a microphone that's hanging from the ceiling, and you're talking while you sing.
Can I still get Whitney Houston on that list, or is she me and not you guys?
This is now. This is today, current, right now, songbirds
that
of our
time. That would
be
last generation.
Last generation, all right.
So you're going Gaga?
Adele.
Are you giving me Alicia Keys? Because Allison won't give me Alicia Keys.
Am I doing a Rushmore? So I got
to
get four?
Well, actually, no. I have to rule on this. If we're claiming Celine Dion, that would mean that Whitney Houston's in that same category.
Because I think she's the past generation. She's
but
mine.
She's still getting after it right now.
Well, I mean, I think Whitney Houston would be too if she was still with us.
But.
All right. Just so I don't sound like a jerk, I'll give you credit. Now that Tom backed me into a damn corner.
Like, why are you mad at Whitney Houston? No, but I'll put it. I'll
thanks,
put Celine.
Tom.
I'm putting
Talk
Celine
about making
Dion.
Me the bad guy.
I
good
know,
lord.
That came out bad for you. I think Celine Dion and Whitney Houston are part of like my generation.
All right, so I'll separate her. So currently.
Yeah, so current.
Adele. Lady Gaga.
Lady Gaga.
Alicia Keys.
I think you go Alicia Keys.
Boom. I don't know why Allison was against that. And then.
So who would the other nominee be? It's not Christina Aguilera. Mary J. Blige, again, is my generation, so a little bit older.
This one is probably a terrible guess. But I'm just thinking about pipes and a great voice.
Right, right.
I mean, this person is probably not worthy. Jennifer Hudson.
She's a great singer.
Yeah, Jennifer Hudson's got pipes. I don't know if she's had the acclaim of being a songbird
like
in our generation.
I want her to sing the national anthem at big events. I feel like she's going to rip it.
I think she would like to have that, too. She would probably like that lifetime contract of just singing the anthem.
But I can't name a single song of hers. Now, I'm out of touch and old, so I don't know anything anyway.
So give me the fourth of the Mount Rushmore.
That's what I'm trying to figure out.
Can I make a nomination?
Yeah.
Nominate.
Cardi B.
Get out of here.
Stop it with that.
That's a bit.
Songbird of our generation.
No chance.
She's something of our generation.
No chance.
Emblematic.
How about this? Lizzo.
Okay. Also, no chance. By the way, can you... Well, I'm not going to say anything. You know what I'm not going to do? I'm not going to say anything. The answer is no to Lizzo. I love that song. I do. The new man on the Minnesota Vikings.
I find it to be the most grating and irritating piece of music produced by human beings in a decade. I think it's wretched.
Do I want to say what I want to say?
It's in there with Benny and the Jets for all-time worst songs.
I don't know.
At me all you want.
I've already set you up once in this segment.
That song sucks and you know it.
Did you see the pictures or videos of what Lizzo wore to the Lakers game the other day?
No. What I did is I saw people talking about it, and then I cast my gaze in a different direction. I didn't give that attention.
Can you imagine if some like hot model wore that, what people would have said about her? That's my comment.
I got nothing. I will refrain.
Good for you.
So NFL, I don't have a fourth of my Mount Rushmore's the point.
NFL power rankings at 12:45. Grant and Danny on the Fan.
Buy one, get one free. There's no limit, plus zero down. Make zero payments and pay zero interest until 2021. Plus a free Amazon $50 gift card with a price quote. What am I talking about? Window Nation. I have Window Nation. They worked on my condo. Awesome new windows, sliding glass door. Gave me a tax credit, lowered my energy bills, and I got brand new, beautiful windows in the home. The deal is happening right now. You got to call them. They're the best.
Window Nation, stuffing stockings with buy one, get one, as Danny's telling you. No down payment, no payments, no interest until 2021. Buy now and pay later and call today for that free and home estimate. As Danny's telling you, this is the deal of all the deals. We tell you about some from time to time. They're not this good. Install those windows with Window Nation now. Over 150,000 windows last year. 99.5% of the time, they didn't require any follow-up service. Do what I did. Do what Danny did. Call Window Nation today, 866-90-NATION. 866-90-NATION or go to windownation.com. Fellas voted Ariana Grande in behind the scenes as their fourth of our Mount Rushmore.
She can really sing. It's either her or Kelly Clarkson.
A lot of votes for her as
Kelly
well.
Kelly Clarkson!
I'll leave it open for interpretation. How about that? It's up for grabs. It's still out there. The generational talents can still stake their claim. Our generation hasn't ended yet, right? We still got time.
Still going on. People can do things. They could rise and fall.
So we'll leave it open. Somebody can claim the spot on the Mount Rushmore.
Apparently someone called and was very angry that I dismissed Christina Aguilera. Whatever moves people to passion. Whatever you're excited about.
Hey, if you have passion listening to the show, that's the goal. So we'll take it. What chance do you give right now? Give me a percentage out of 100 that Anthony Rendon re-signs with the Nats.
10%. I think it is a near foregone conclusion. I was a little bit higher than that before the Strasburg numbers came in. I just don't see how it fits.
All right, let's do this. Because I'm at about, I was going to say 2%. Mm-hmm. But I might even give you, I'm going to bump it up. I'm feeling good.
Give me 4.
I'll give you 3%.
What's it going to take for you to get to 4% today? What can I give you?
You can't
what
get
can
me.
I offer you? I can offer you something.
Unless
package.
There's a report that Anthony Rendon.
I'll throw in the warranty for
4%. Bought three 4%. Houses around Nats Park.
Uh-huh.
That could get me to 4%.
That'll get you to 4%.
Because even still, I would still think he's just going to be renting them out to people.
Mm.
But it would,
it's just
it
good
would,
investment.
It would bump me up 1%. I'm like, this is a good neighborhood. Maybe he just wants That's to fun. Own property here. Walters is doing big things as a sports bar. And, you know, we got a developing situation here. The Big Stick makes good wings. So, yeah, maybe the neighborhood's looking up. But what were you on day one of the season? Let's go opening day first. Percentage chance that Rendon re-signed.
40.
Okay, I'm going to say I was at about 35. All-star break.
25.
15. Last day of the World Series.
5%.
5 as well.
Yeah.
And now I've moved down to 3 and you're still at 5.
I'm at 10.
Oh, you've gone 10%. Up.
I've gone up. As I was pretty much, this is over. It's just a fool's hope. It keeps opening the door to my heart. Every time I close it off, I think I've moved on.
So are you buying the Strasburg is trying to make the case thing that we were asking our callers about?
So buying it to the tune that 90% of the time he's gone? Yeah.
In other words, you think there's a better chance he comes back than you did a couple weeks ago?
Yes.
Why?
That little factor, just that it's not just a foregone conclusion. The people are still trying. They're still trying to do it. I don't think they can.
But there was going to be, and I think you'll admit and understand this, there was going to be these reports, no matter, even if they're not trying that hard, you're going to be hearing that they are.
Yeah.
Mark Lerner basically told you,
yes,
if you were listening to Mark Lerner, that
and
they're not trying.
Right.
Mike Rizzo came on our show to do damage control, which we knew he would,
uh-huh,
and said that they are trying, and you're choosing to believe that they are.
I believe that he's gone. If I had to bet on it, I would bet. It's
right.
An easy bet. It's
but
a
in terms of the positive trend here.
Yes. And we're talking about micro percentages, like the tiniest amount that I go, well, maybe they haven't closed the door. And all I'm doing is hoping. This is not a rational discussion here.
And that's kind of the question is, do people still have hope? I want them to. I need them to. Goodness knows, it'd be great to get Anthony Rendon back. It's hard to fathom it. Where do you think he ends up? Rangers has been my pick all
along.
I think
my
they're
pick
the favorite,
too.
So maybe separate them.
So non-Rangers division, I think that both Los Angeles teams are
Angels.
Good destinations. I mean, the Dodgers, it would fit their plan. Granted, we've seen another league, because Boris is just a master of this. Whatever his client wants, he sort of generates the market and does the puppeteer bit. And I'm sure there's a mystery team involved we don't know about. But at one point it was, he's thinking about a 5-year deal because they'll just walk away after a huge AAV. Now, all of a sudden, everybody's coming in with 7-year offers, and maybe that's what they want. Maybe that's what he wants to do. So I'm not really sure. But if you were to believe the 4-to-5-year offer, that's perfect for the Dodgers. That's exactly what they want to do. They offered Bryce that short-term deal worth, I think it was like almost $40 million AAV. They'll do that for Rendon. They have no problem spending huge in the short term. They just don't want to get saddled with a bad contract on the back end. That would sort of fit their MO, especially after missing out on Garrett Cole. And they can move Turner to first base, solve a bunch of problems that way. I could see them. The Angels, again, having missed out on the Cole sweepstakes, they need
something.
They
got money to spend.
And Artie Moreno cannot wait to spend money.
The thing with the Angels is they are starting to look around and say, we can't keep wasting Mike Trout's prime. This is the greatest player of his generation. We were just talking about songbirds of their generation. Mike Trout is going to go down probably as the greatest player that ever lived.
Has a chance to.
That's fair, right?
I mean, yep.
He legitimately could go down as the greatest baseball player ever. He's already a 3-time MVP, probably should be a 5-time MVP. He was a rookie of the year. He's won 7 Silver Sluggers. He's been an All-Star 8 times, an All-Star Game MVP twice. He's been a Major League Player of the Year. I mean, he's done everything you can do already. He's been in the big league since 2011. He is now 28 years old, probably has 6 or so prime seasons left, and he hasn't won 1 playoff series yet because he's played on pretty average or worse teams for the most part.
I don't think he's won a playoff game, if I've got that right. Maybe they got a game somewhere.
Did
there,
they not win a division series game, or has
like
he
they
not
never
even
did?
Played in? Just wild card? Look that up. I'd be curious to know the answer to that. That would be pretty fascinating if he's never won a playoff.
I think
game.
It was just, yeah, maybe. Maybe they got swept in the ALDS by Kansas City.
So then they wouldn't have won,
I
right?
want to say three games. I want to say that. Yeah, that's what happened. They got swept. Three games. And that's it. 2014 playoffs,
so
they
he
got
has
swept.
Three playoff games his whole life?
Uh-huh.
And they're going, how do we get him to the playoffs? So pay for Rendon. They wanted to pay for Cole. They got outbid by the Yankees. Probably just bid against themselves, it sounds like.
How long are they stuck with Pujols? And I know I should have that info in front of me, but...
Three more years, I think?
Yeah.
Maybe four.
Such an albatross of a contract.
That's
man.
A brutal contract. Can't
yep,
trade that either.
2021 at $30 million. Oh! Oh!
That is gross.
That is tough.
You don't give 30-year-olds 10-year contracts. It's bad business. You could give, I guess, a 29-year-old pitcher a 9-year contract.
I was going to say.
You could do that.
You could do that, I suppose.
But anyway, I think that's what they're going to do is they're going to try to push for Rendon with the Angels needing a superstar to go with Trout.
But to me, the Rangers are the easiest one.
Agreed. And I think if you're a Nats fan, what you should be hoping for, fingers crossed, get him to the American League.
American League, please.
Not NL East. If he's got to be in the NL, West Coast, Dodgers, whatever, but get him to the American League. It feels different. It's a better breakup. It's like never having to see your ex again.
When it comes back, not this season, but the next, huge ovation, a lot of fun, no hurt feelings.
You want your first wife to live across the street?
No.
Or would you rather her live in a different state?
We've gone through this discussion before, haven't we?
Jimmy in Vienna, how are you?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Love
hey, Jimmy.
Your show.
Hey, buddy.
Thank you.
Okay, so a couple things. One, Danny, referring to the roster numbers. The number I saw last night, including Strasburg's luxury tax figure, is they're at 166 right now.
Mm-hmm.
So you figure that Rendon is going to probably make about $35 million AAV. Does that sound right, Grant?
Yes, I would say so. Okay. Maybe a little more, but that's about
that's
right.
That's exactly what Strasburg is,
yeah.
35.
Right. So that takes him up to 198, about $10 million below the luxury tax line. You figure a raise for Turner, some other things. I mean, they're going to be pushing up against it, but I totally see how the learners could, you know, want to stay under the luxury tax and still find a way to make a compelling offer to Rendon. You know, you could always get outbid, but make a compelling offer. And I just don't think we should let the learners off the hook about letting one of the maybe top five players, when you include his defense, like, just walk away this easily because they never made him a good enough offer. Like, that's 2 years in a row. We could be building something that lasts for 2, 3, 4 years here, and I just think the learners should, like, we should push for them to do that. That's kind of my take on it.
Thank you, buddy.
I agree with all that. I mean, I that's kind of the battle cry of the show. Had they not have won the World Series, I planned on completely eviscerating the Nationals if they didn't re-sign Rendon.
And so you could... You get out of jail free here if you make a huge offer and he's like, you know what, I just want to go to Texas. I want to go where I'm from. No harm, no foul then, right? Nobody's mad at anybody, I think, at that stage. But if it's, you know, comically below what he ends up signing for, the reported offer of 7 and 210 with a bunch of deferrals, that's going to annoy some people, and I get that.
Let's get to our NFL power rankings next. Plus, there is an anecdote. We came up yesterday on the show in passing. We didn't drill down on it. But about something the Patriots do that's kind of shady. That they have had former players come out and say that they regularly do, people are up in arms about. And even though I am anti-Patriots cheating, I'm not sure that this particular thing that they like to do is actually that bad. I'm going to bounce it off you next. Grant and Danny on the Fan. And then they would put together whatever they could, any kind of intel, information, game planning, whatever, that they could find from the rooms. I don't think that's cheating. I think that that's really weird and seedy and overly paranoid and definitely shady. But do you have a huge problem with that?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah, let's not rifle through trash.
I mean, every team could be doing that. It's not like
sure
you're in their locker room recording anything.
Well, they do that too. I mean, they you know, send a clubby in there to getting loose leaf pieces of paper with play scripts and sheets and they've done that for years.
Do you think that when they get the trash from the hotel, it's based on that game that weekend? Because my guess would be, if I'm rifling through trash while the Redskins fly in on Saturday, they're in the room, they check out Sunday morning, they go to the stadium. I'm getting the trash on Sunday night or whatever, Sunday afternoon. The game's already happened. My guess is it's for the future. Like if you play that team again or something, I don't think it benefits me that Sunday, right?
Then why are they doing it? If it doesn't benefit you, then why they're doing it?
Because you're building a file on. I mean, some people thought they were recording the Bengals because they use some of the same signals as the Rams, or they might play in the Super Bowl or something. Mm-hmm. So I think they're just building intel.
Yeah,
files.
They build databases.
Right.
Yeah, that one, I don't know why, but something about rifling through the trash has me. How do I say this the right way? Just kind of give it my initial gut feel. I don't know that I have a legal argument that would hold up in court as to why I don't like it. It just doesn't seem right
to
me.
How different is that than going up and like collecting a bunch of like play sheets and things left behind in the coaching room at the visiting stadium? Shouldn't every team do that? Like, as you're walking through, like, hey, go see if anybody left anything behind.
Yeah, that's.
Are you going to shred that for
posterity?
Be a good guy?
That's more of maybe a mistake and carelessness of the team as opposed to underhand, a non-taxable income paying somebody cash to rifle through trash.
I did that a couple times, by the way.
You know what I mean?
So I used to do my post-game reports on the Fan from the press box area. And because the press box was so quiet and everyone was working, when I would be on my phone,
it's awkward. Yeah.
After the game, it's super awkward. But more than that, I don't care about them hearing me talking. It was annoying for the writers who were on deadline and trying to get their stories done to have me yelling in their ear, basically. So I would go find a nearby quiet place to do my hits. And in a lot of these road stadiums, that would end up being in the coaching booths, like right next to the press box.
Mm-hmm.
So there were a few times where I would go to a coaching booth hit where I would just sit in there, talk to Chris Russell or Earl Forsey or whoever's doing our post-game show. At the time, maybe it was Bill or Holden or whoever. And I'd be on the line talking to them, and I'd get done, and there would just be nothing but sheets of like plays and pictures all over. I would scoop them all up and put them right in my bag.
Scoop and score.
Now, I didn't always know what I was looking at, but I would go to a former player or someone on the team, and I would say, hey, what is this or what is that? But same thing, I would put all those in my bag. I mean, I guess that's shady. I don't know. But
that's not shady because you're not using it against a team in the future.
Right, but I guess my point is knowing that a lot of the times it gets left behind, and I can think of, again, this is multiple times where I would see the charts you're watching the quarterbacks look through. And like, I don't know what would be helpful or not helpful to Bill Belichick. But first of all, I think that's super careless to leave all that stuff behind.
We agree.
I would have someone on my staff that says, we're not leaving anything at any point.
Right.
But if I was a head coach, Mike Shanahan or Bill Belichick or one of these guys, every little detail matters. You know, Mike Shanahan is having interns listen to the radio show. He would have an intern listen to every one of my reports as a beat reporter from the park and take notes. The kid told me about it. He's like, and he wasn't supposed to. He got in trouble for it. But he's like, hey, you said something on your report today. Did you mean this? I'm like, what are you talking about?
He's like,
I'm taking notes for coach. And I'm like, wait, you're doing what?
I'm sorry.
And so I'm like, that's how I was tipped off to it.
Yeah.
Like my point is those guys care about everything.
I know.
You don't think you should just send someone up to say, hey, see if the team we play in 3 weeks in our division that was just here.
Yeah, see if they
left
screwed
some
up.
Things behind.
I'm with that.
I would do that.
But are you now, and if it's in your stadium or something like that and someone's cleaning up, yeah, grab that stuff. And I'm with you. You should do that. It's gamesmanship. But now, is the next step then to say, we're not involved in this game in any way. Let's say it's Redskins-Broncos, right, are the two teams playing. Or now let me try it a different way. I screwed that up. Let's just say for the sake of argument that you have nothing to do with the game that's being played. It's in a road stadium. Like the team that you're going to play in 6 weeks, you're going to play the Cleveland Browns in 6 weeks, and they're playing Denver.
Right.
Are you sending somebody there under the guise of media to go snoop around and grab something? Can you do that?
That feels wrong.
Right? That feels wrong. And that's kind of my point.
So your point is, where do you draw the line?
When you have a third party
rifling
through trash and leftovers, I just kind of inherently go, nope, that's wrong. Let's write a rule. Let's make sure that's not okay.
There is a slope here that we're sliding down.
But if you leave it in my stadium, it's mine.
Neil Greenberg of the Washington Post wrote a story yesterday about how ineffective Bruce Allen's been during his tenure with the Redskins. He's going to join us next to talk about that piece on Grant and Danny.
There's no offseason. Out of the St. James, the DMV's hottest destination for sports, wellness, and active entertainment. The St. James, it's a sports utopia. There's something for everyone there. So, if you're like me, you're gross. You're pudgy, you're awkward, you're 40, you're sore all the time. You want to get in better shape, right? But where do you find the time? I'll get to that in a second. The Premium Health Club at the St. James offers top-of-the-line equipment and weights, dedicated personal trainers to help you achieve your body goals. Every new member gets 2 complimentary health assessments with a personal trainer. What do you do with your kids? That's the problem. We've all got time, but it's always dedicated to our kids. Aha, aha. Kids can play in the Active Entertainment Center, climbing and bouldering walls, trampolines, VR games, ropes course, and a massive water park. It's a perfect place to host a birthday party or entertain your kids for a couple hours or get a workout in. They've also got daycare services right there on site. I'm telling you, you got to check out the St. James. The place is amazing. So much under one roof, you got to see it to believe it. Visit thestjames.com to learn more. Get a little tour. That's thestjames.com. St. James, welcome to your best.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.